If you have your Bibles tonight, I want to invite you to look at 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5. We've been walking together through this letter of Paul to Timothy, and the overriding theme, I think, of this whole letter is found in verse number 15 of 1 Timothy chapter 3, when Paul says, "If I am delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth." And so the church is God's institution. Jesus Christ died for it. He has formed it. And the church, in God's design, is what is to be the witness for the truth. And so if the church is going to defend and ground the truth, it also needs to live out that truth and to live it out in a way that's consistent with Christ's commands and with the Word of God. And so what Paul's doing, he's writing Christ's instructions to the church so that the church can be ordered according to God's design and fulfill its purposes. Last Wednesday night, when we were together, we were looking at chapter 5, verses 3 through 8, where Paul has some specific guidelines and instructions to Timothy for how to care for particular people inside the church who are in need, especially widows and those who are without a source of provision. And that reminds us of something that Paul said in Galatians 6:10, where he said that as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. And so as Christians, we have a responsibility of love to everyone, but in a really particular, special way, we have a responsibility of love to those within our own fellowship. And that's what Paul's dealing with here in chapter 5 of 1 Timothy, is how we are to care for people in need inside our own fellowship. And he's been addressing a specific category of people in widows. In chapter 5. And last week we talked about the fact that there are widows who can be taken care of by their family because they have living family who can provide for them. But there are other widows who are totally without any provision. They have no family to take care of them. They have no inheritance, no land. They're completely dependent on God for their basic necessities of life. And Paul said that the church has a responsibility to help those women and the needs that they have. He's going to continue to talk about that now in verses 9 through 16 and how the church is to care for these widows. And he has some certain qualifications on who the church should help specifically and who the church shouldn't help. And I think beyond just the issue of widows in this passage, there are some bigger lessons that we can learn from Paul. And so I want to go through this passage with you and see specifically what he says about widows, but then also try to apply it bigger to larger applications. And so in verse number 9 of 1 Timothy 5, he says, "No widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60 and has been faithful to her husband." It's interesting, isn't it? He starts to get pretty specific there with who should be on this list of widows and who shouldn't. The thing I want to point out, first of all, is that he mentions a list. So there's, in Paul's mind, there is some kind of enrollment or some kind of list of widows who are to come under the care of the church. And so this fits with what he was saying back in verses 3 through 8, in that there are widows and then there are widows in need who are truly in need. So there are many widows who may not necessarily need to be put on this list because they have living family who can care for them. So I think what he's talking about here is this list is probably widows who are completely in need, as what he was talking about earlier in the passage. And so they're dependent on the Lord for their needs, and these are the ones that the church should step up and help. But beyond that, he has some extra qualifications for this list of widows, which is interesting. First, he says, don't put a widow on the list if she's under 60 years old. Seems kind of arbitrary, doesn't it? I mean, did Paul just throw a dart, you know, at a dartboard and say, okay, 55, 60, 65, okay, if she's 60, don't put her on the list. If she's over 60, you can put her on the list. Why would he say 60? I think for a couple of reasons. One, as we're going to see this throughout the passage, is that I think Paul has a practical concern that the church's resources not be stretched beyond its limits. And so in order to make sure that there's enough resources for the widows who are truly in need, he's basically making a cutoff here for between younger widows and older widows. And I don't think this is completely arbitrary, because we have some literature outside of the Bible from this same time that seems to suggest that around 60 years old was the time of retirement, or the time in which really a widow could probably not expect to become remarried. And so he's thinking in here in terms of an older widow who is probably beyond the age of being able to work, beyond the age of probably expecting to be able to remarry, but is therefore more likely to be in a position where she's in need for by the care of the church. And so he's distinguishing between older widows and younger widows. And I think that's going to become clear why he's doing that later in the passage. Then he says she needs to be also faithful to her husband. Does that sound familiar to you? It's the exact same language, phrased exactly the same way, as it was in 1 Timothy 3 for the qualifications of a pastor and the qualifications of a deacon, except just reversed. Because in 1 Timothy 3, it said that the pastors and the deacons, they need to be faithful to their wives. Or some translations have the husband of one wife. This is exactly the opposite. She needs to be the wife of one husband, or faithful to her husband. What that tells me is that in 1 Timothy 3, Paul was dealing with qualifications, character qualifications to become an elder or to become a deacon. Here he's dealing with widows, and he seems to also be dealing with character qualifications, as we're going to see in verse number 10. So he says she needs to have been faithful to her husband. So here's what I think is going on here in reading the commentaries and thinking about what Paul is saying here. I think what Paul is talking about with this list of widows is he has two things in mind that go together. One aspect of it is that the church should care financially, materially for these widows because they're truly in need. But the flip side of that is, I think what is involved here is that these widows are also making a commitment to the church in service, and that they would be used in a service or ministry role because they no longer have family obligations and they might be able to be of help to other people. And so it seems to be a two-sided coin, that they're being cared for by the church, but they're also having some ministry or service responsibilities as being a part of this role. And that's why he lists out some character qualifications for these widows. And first of those qualifications is that she was faithful to her husband during the time that they were married. And then in verse 10, he goes on and he lists some other character qualifications about her reputation. He says the widow needs to be well known for her good deeds. And he goes on and he lists some, such as bringing up children, having been a good mother, showing hospitality to, and entertaining people in her home and caring for people in hospitality, washing the feet of the Lord's people, which demonstrates a servant's heart, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. So, in other words, there's a widow who is truly in need. She's coming under the care of the church, but also she is to meet certain qualifications to come under that care of the church. And I think the reason for that is because she's going to become a servant of the church. She's going to become a servant of the church. She's committing herself to serve the church and its people. And I think probably what Paul has in mind and the reason why he lists these qualifications is that the widows who come under the care of the church and serve the church are going to serve in some of these ways. So she's going to help with hospitality, or she's going to help with service. She's going to help maybe other young mothers in the church and be a mentor to them in terms of raising children. She's going to help those in need or in trouble. In fact, some commentaries that I read suggested that these widows that we're talking about here are the women of 1 Timothy 3. Remember when we were together talking about that and there was this issue of the women? Who are they? Who are these women? Some commentators think it's these women, these widows who are coming under the care of the church, but also serving the church. And they have to have qualifications and a reputation of godliness to help the church in this way. And so I think one of the overriding principles here is that the church should care for its own, the church should serve those within its care, but also the church should be careful about guarding its reputation. And so if a widow is going to be serving others in the name of the church and under the care of the church, then she also needs to have the godly qualifications to go along with that church's reputation for Christ. I think that's what Paul is saying here. In verse 11, he says, as for younger widows, so you can see the contrast, right? What was the age he said in verse 9? 60. That was his cutoff. And so I think he's doing that to distinguish between older widows and younger widows. And now he's going to distinguish the younger widows, and he has recommendations for them. For the younger widows, do not put them on such a list, for when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Now, we've got to talk about this for a minute and think about what Paul is saying here, because we don't want to take it the wrong way. You could, if you just read this verse by itself, think that Paul doesn't like marriage. Right? I mean, if you just read this verse by itself, you might come away with that thought, that these are people who should be dedicated to Christ. They shouldn't be worrying about getting married, as if Paul is saying something bad about marriage. But that's not what he's saying here, and I want to show why. First of all, already in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he's already denounced false teachers who are forbidding marriage. So Paul has a problem with people who say you're not supposed to get married. So Paul doesn't have a problem with marriage. He thinks marriage is a gift from God. So then why here would he say these younger widows, if you put them on a list, they might want to get married? What's bad about that? I think the key is in verse 12. Thus they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. What's the first pledge he's talking about here? Pretty much all the commentaries are in agreement that what's happening here is that these widows are widows in need. They need care by the church. But they're also, in being cared for by the church, they're coming into the service and ministry of the church to do ministry for the church. And when they do that, when they're coming in to be a widow in need and coming into this role, most of the commentators suggest that they're making a commitment to that role. And so they're making a pledge, or they're making a vow, they're making a commitment to that role to serve the church and its people as a widow in need. And so the problem that Paul's addressing then is not that a widow wants to get remarried. That's not the problem. The problem is that a widow said, I'm coming under the care of the church and I want to serve the church, and I'm making a commitment to serve the church in this way. But then later on, he says, it's a problem if then she does want to get married, because then she's going to be breaking a vow. Then she's going to be breaking a commitment that she's made to the church. And in so doing, will bring judgment on themselves. So that's what I think is going on here. There's a two-sided coin of being cared for by the church, but also committing to serve the church in ministry. And when you come in and make that commitment, you're taking a pledge or a vow to serve in this way. And that's why he doesn't want younger widows on the list in this role, because they might want to do what's natural, and that is to get remarried and be part of family life again, which Paul doesn't have a problem with, except for the fact that they're making a commitment to serve in this way. And if they break their commitment, he says they're bringing judgment on themselves. What kind of judgment? Well, in the most extreme sense, we could think of hell judgment, right? That's probably not what he means here. He probably has in mind maybe God's chastening hand on them because they've broken a commitment that they've made. That's probably what he has in view. And so basically what Paul is saying is, I don't want you to put younger widows on this list and bring them into this role because they're going to naturally, over time, maybe want to get remarried. So just hold off on the younger widows. And so he says in verse number 13, besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things they ought not to. Man, Paul's being pretty rough here, isn't he? Let me just mention a couple of things here that I think is helpful for us as we interpret the Bible. Is Paul saying that all widows do this? I don't think that's what he's saying. I think most likely what's going on here is Paul has knowledge of the particular situation in Ephesus. One of the things that we need to remember about interpreting the Bible is that epistles like 1 Timothy, like Ephesians, like Philemon, they're letters. And what a letter is a correspondence from one person to another person or persons. And usually that correspondence has to do with a particular occasion or situation. And so there are certain things going on in Ephesus where Timothy is that Paul knows about because he knows the situation, probably because of other communication from Timothy or he's been there. He knows what Ephesus is like. He knows the people in the church. He's already mentioned some of the people by name in this letter. And so he knows specifically the situation, and he's giving advice, counsel to Timothy about how to care for widows in the church. And he says, in your situation, I don't want you to take younger widows under the care of the church, and here's why. Because they're going to be tempted to not use their time well. And here we see the twofold idea of coming under the care of the church and also serving the church. And what Paul is saying, I think, is that if you bring some of these younger widows under the care of the church, they might not have yet the maturity, the character, the godliness to use that role well in service for others. Instead, what they might be tempted to do is to use this opportunity of being cared for by the church, but then not using their time wisely in the service of others. And instead of serving others, they're going from house to house and not using their time wisely. Either they're being idle or they're gossiping. They're saying things that they should not be saying. And so he says to avoid that problem, don't enlist the younger widows into the care of the church. And so I don't want us to take away from this that Paul is saying something here that isn't true of other people. Aren't we all at times prone to idleness? I mean, all of us have a temptation to be idle and to not use our time wisely. All of us, if we're not careful, have the temptation to gossip about other people and to say hurtful things about other people. So this is not a problem that's just unique to these people. But what he's saying is, I want to remove this opportunity. I want to remove this temptation. And so let's not enlist them for this reason. And so here's his counsel, verse 14. Here's my advice, that the younger widows marry, have children, manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. So his encouragement is that the younger widows seek to be married again and to be a part of family life and to be a wife and a mother again. That's his encouragement to the younger widows. And his main purpose, though, in verse 14, is so that the enemy has no reason for slander. Meaning, the highest goal that Paul has here, and here's where we can really seek an application, is Paul has in mind the character of Christ and the reputation of the church. The character of Christ, Christ's name, Christ's honor, and the reputation of the church. And what he doesn't want is he doesn't want people being cared for by the church, under the church's name, doing service in the church's name, but then not using that time wisely and actually hurting the reputation of the church rather than helping it. That's his ultimate concern. And so knowing the situation in Ephesus, knowing the people that Timothy is leading, here's his counsel to them in that situation. He says in verse 15, here's why he's giving this advice, because he knows the situation. He says, some have in fact already turned away to follow Satan. What's he saying there? He's talking about widows in the context. And perhaps he's talking about younger widows. And perhaps he's saying that some of these younger widows have already left the faith. And they've been lured in by the desires of this world and turned away from the gospel. Here's what I think might be going on here. I'm going to suggest this as a possibility. Verse 13, he says, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house, and not only do they become idlers, but also busybodies who talk nonsense, saying things that they ought not to. What if, I'm just throwing this out as a suggestion, what if in verse 13, Paul is saying something more than just gossip? What if verse 13 of chapter 5 is specifically connected with the opening themes of his letter, which is that people are going around proclaiming myths and fables and endless genealogies that have no basis in truth? And at one point, he calls this false teaching in Ephesus old wives' tales. What if the going around from house to house and talking nonsense is not just gossiping, but actually spreading false truth, spreading false teaching? If so, then that would make very much sense of verse 15, where it says, some have already, in fact, turned away to follow Satan. So maybe what Paul is saying, again, here's the problem with interpreting a letter like 1 Timothy or any letter, is we're hearing one side of the phone conversation. You understand what I'm saying by that? We're hearing one side of the phone conversation. Paul is saying something to Timothy in that situation. Paul knows the situation. Timothy knows the situation. Timothy lives in that situation. He knows exactly what Paul's talking about. Paul's been there. He knows the people there. Paul knows what he's talking about. Here's the problem. We don't live in Ephesus. We're separated from Ephesus by thousands of miles, and we're separated from this situation by 2,000 years. So it's hard to know exactly for sure what Paul is addressing here when he says that some have already followed Satan. Maybe he's talking about the false teaching that he's been dealing with throughout the whole letter. And maybe some of the culprits in this false teaching and the spread of this false teaching are these widows who have time on their hands, and they're going around from house to house, and they're not just gossiping, they're spreading false doctrine. Maybe that's what he's saying. It's hard to know for sure. But his point is that if you're going to take a widow on in the care of the church, she has to have been a godly woman with godly character, a woman who is truly in need. And so an older widow, she has no chances of being remarried or coming back into a family life. She has no other family to care for her. She is truly in need. That's the kind of widow that you take on. And it's also with the understanding that she's going to be a servant of the church and therefore display the church's reputation. And so he finishes in verse 16. If any woman who is a believer has widows in her care, she should continue to help them and not let the church be burdened with them, so that the church can help those widows who are really in need. So this kind of goes back to an earlier point he made that we looked at last week. And that is, if there is a widow who has family or who has other means of support, then she should be supported that way by her family, by others who are already caring for her. And I think his principle here is so that the church can be freed up to help those who are truly in need. So the church can focus on its primary mission, which is the gospel. So the church can help those who really need it. So that the church is not helping people who are then misusing their time and resources to spread things that they shouldn't be spreading, and so that the church can have a godly reputation in the community. So what are some lessons that we can learn here? What are some lessons from this passage? And I think there are several lessons that we can learn here. One is to use God's resources wisely. That seems to be one of Paul's bigger concerns throughout the whole section, both last week and tonight, is that in the care of widows, he wants us to care for others, but he also wants God's resources to be used wisely. And so if there are family members who can care for their own, the first responsibility falls to them, so that God's resources cannot be stretched too thin, so that those who are truly in need can be helped. And so he wants care and wisdom in the way that God's resources are used. I think another principle that he has for us is that he wants the church's reputation to be maintained in the community, so that widows who are being cared for by the church and serving in the church's name are widows, are women who have a godly character and who are truly helping other people and have a reputation of helping other people. And they're not the ones going around and spreading false ideas or false teaching. So he wants to guard the reputation of the church. Why is that? 1 Timothy 3:15, the church is the pillar and the foundation of the truth. This is the church of the living God. So he wants to guard the reputation of the church. And he also is teaching us in this passage that we should all maintain a consistent Christian character. I mentioned this when we went through 1 Timothy 3 on the elders and the deacons, and I think it applies here with the widows as well, that these are not super spiritual qualifications for some elite. All the qualifications in 1 Timothy 3, as well as some of the ones that he's mentioned here for widows, these are things that all of us should strive for. We should all be striving to be faithful to our spouses. We should all be striving to help others who are in need. If you're a mother, you should be striving to be a good mother of your children. In 1 Timothy 3, you should strive to have a blameless reputation or to have a good reputation in your community. So these are things that every Christian should be striving for. Another lesson, I think, here is that we should serve others as we have opportunity. So the church has a responsibility to serve widows and care for them who are truly in need. But also, we have a responsibility to serve in other ways as well. So serve other people who are in need with either practical or spiritual needs. And then I think one other application that we can see from one of the verses here is that we need to use our time and our words wisely. One of his concerns is that not becoming idle, not becoming time wasters, not becoming those who spread false truths or false ideas, either about other people in gossip and slander, or false ideas about the truth, about the gospel, and false teaching. But that we use our time and our words wisely. And I think if I had to put a main idea on this whole passage, it would be this, that we need to be Christians whose lives match our professions. And that's true for in the care of widows, but it's also true in the service of widows as they serve on behalf of the church, that our profession in Christ, that our lives needs to match that and to fit with that. And I think that's his overriding concern here, is that we be people of Christ who our character, our actions, matches the profession that we say we have, in order to maintain the reputation of the church. And ultimately, though, the highest goal is so that Christ is honored, so that Christ in his name is magnified. And so how do we apply this in our church today? You know, just thinking about widows. We have widows in our church. We have several widows in our church. Our situation maybe is a little bit different than in Paul's day because we have a government system, Social Security, that can help provide for basic necessities. But I mentioned this last week that sometimes that government check isn't enough. And so we should be open to the potential that we may need to help some within our own congregation. And I think it extends even beyond widows. There may be others in our congregation that have fallen on hard times. And we have a responsibility to help those, especially in the household of faith. Paul says in Galatians 6:10. And so even though the situation might be different, and even though we might not have an official enrollment list of widows like maybe Paul is suggesting here in this passage, I think the principle is there, and that is that we should care for our own, that in caring for our own, we should also seek to maintain the reputation and the character of the church in the community, and ultimately for Christ to be honored. And so I think we can take those principles and apply them whether you're in first century Ephesus or whether you're in 2015 Winfield, Alabama, that Christ's church needs to be magnified and his name honored. And one of the ways that we can do that is the way that we care for one another. And we are all guilty, every single one of us, we're guilty of seeing a need and either not noticing it, or maybe being too busy and it just goes past us. Or maybe we see an opportunity, we notice it, we don't do something about it. We've all been in that situation before. And so may God forgive us where we've seen needs and not met them. And may he give us open eyes to see opportunities that need to be met. And may we, as we have opportunity, do good to all men, but especially those of the household of faith. And so I pray that we'll just be challenged by this, be thinking about what needs we may have in our church, around us, and not just physical, but spiritual, emotional needs as well. And just look to be a help and an encouragement to others.